It's brought down in the Svarim a very beautiful idea about, you know, the Svarim always tried to bring down Hasidic literature. There's always a big push to try to see, you know, where you could see Ramazim, where you could ultimately find different hints, different scriptural allusions to, obviously, events that occurred after the close of the Torah. So the Svarim bring down, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh brings this down, Tiltas Yaakov Yosef brings this down. So where do we find Iraya, where do we find the Remez to Lag BaOmer, to the great sanctity, the beauty of this day? So amazingly enough, so the Svarim bring down, you find it at the end of Parshas Vayetze. So the Torah says the following. The Torah says, this is after Yaakov Avinu runs away from Lavan. The middle of the night, he steals away in the middle of the night. Lavan's not very happy. So what happened? Lavan pursues him. Lavan catches up with him, but the Ribono Shalom again appears to Lavan before and essentially telling him, don't start up with Lavan. So when Lavan finally catches up with Yaakov Avinu, he's much more conciliatory and contrite because he realizes that he can't mess with Yaakov Avinu. So what happens? They go ahead and they sit down. The Pasuk says, this is in Parak Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Dalet. Va'ata l'chon nichra sabris ani va'ata v'ayah la'id b'ni u'b'necha. So Lavan goes ahead and says, let's make a bris. Let's make a covenant between each other. Now this is a very interesting covenant between a father-in-law and a son-in-law. What's the covenant? We'll say, what's the covenant? The covenant essentially is, you don't call me, and I won't call you. Right? That's the covenant. You know, many people pine for such a covenant like that. You know, that's the covenant Yaakov Avinu makes with his in-laws. You don't call me, I won't call you. So listen to this. Vayomer Yaakov la'achov, liktu avonim, vayichu avonim, vayasu gal, vayochlu shama lagal. So they go ahead, they make a pile. They make a pile of stones. And I will say that pile of stones was to serve ultimately again as the reminder of the covenant. Vayikra lo yavon yegar sadusa, vayakov kara lo galit. So we'll say, so the Svarim, right? So Yaakov, Yilavan called it yegar sadusa, and Lavan called it galit. Galit means gal is a pile. There should be a testimony. That this pile of stone should be a testimony to the covenant we're making between us. Essentially, a non-aggression treaty. A non-aggression treaty. We're not going to bother one another. So since the Svarim bring down that galid, so gal, from Lashon Lag, from Lashon Galinai Va'abita, open my eyes and I will see. And this says the Svarim is the Rayat Lag Ba'omer. Galid. And the kasha is obvious. What does this particular episode of Lavan have to do ultimately again with Lag BaOmer? So there's an amazing verse. So the Rebbe Rav Levi Yitzchok of Berdichev says, he asks on this pasuk, nothing to do with Lag BaOmer. He asks on this pasuk, he says, why does the Torah have to tell us that Lavan named this place Yegar Sahadusa? First of all, it's strange that the Torah itself contains a foreign dialect. Very strange. There's a couple of places throughout the Torah where this happens. So Yegar Sadusa is one of them. Perhaps the most famous is Totafos Vaitfilin. Rashi HaKadosh says, Totafos, when you try to get into the Hebraic etymology of Totafos, you're going to have a very tough time for one simple word. It's not Lashon HaKodesh. It's not Hebrew. Rashi HaKadosh brings down that Totafos is a made up of two different words. Tat bekafsi, right? And pas ba'afriki. So somehow, again, the word tat is some type of kafsi language, whatever that means, and pat is some type of African dialect, each of them meaning two. Totafos representing the idea that the tefillin has four parshas, or four compartments. And you find it one other time, which is the pasuk says in Devarim that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah, be'er heitev. Right? He wrote it down again in many explanations. Well explained. In Rashi HaKadosh says, b'shivim lashon. 70 languages. And the Rebbe asks on each of these places, why? First of all, he asks over here, why does Torah have to include Yegar Sadusa? I don't think he asks it by Tefillin, but he asks it again by Be'er Heitiv. Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you translating the Torah ultimately again in 70 different languages? And the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. The Rebbe says that the Ribono Shel Olam was trying to tell us that Torah has a nitzchius wherever and whenever we are. Sometimes we think that Ruchnius, bless you, could only unfold in specific places. Sometimes we think that you could only be Ruchni in a particular place at a particular time. But it's not true, right? So a person could think Torahs aren't always only in Eretz Yisrael. It was like unequivocally false. Unequivocally false. Again, is there a greater intensity of Torah in Eretz Yisrael? Is there a greater intensity of Ruchnius in Eretz Yisrael? Of course there is. But lest you think that Ruchnius, that Torah could only be found in Eretz Yisrael, could only be found in one place. Such, you know, the Eish Kodesh, the Rebbe Piyajetzna, brings down Hashem Yikom Demo. He brings down that this is why the Ribono Shel Olam gave the Torah in the middle of nowhere. Such a strange thing. One would have thought that Har Sinai, the place of Sinaitic revelation, would have been a pilgrimage site, right? Who wouldn't love to go, right? Forget about Rosh Hashanah and Uman, right? Let's go ahead and spend Shavuos in the Sinai desert. You know, let's go to the mountain and go ahead and spend. But yet again, where's Har Sinai? The place of the greatest revelation, the place mamish where our peoplehood, our nation kite was born, we don't know where it is. And says Eish Kodesh, you want to know why? Because Ribono Shel Olam said, if you know where Har Sinai is, you might think that Torah is only in Har Sinai. You might think that revelation is only there. So the Ribono Shel Olam purposely obscures the location in order for us to know that what? Wherever we are, a person could be Ruchni. Wherever we are, ultimately, again, a person has the ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu go ahead and translate the Torah into 70 languages? Because the Ribono Shel Olam is telling us, wherever you are, whatever land you find yourself in, if you want a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, if you want to be holy, and Rabbeinu says, it's not just in geography. Because, you know, sometimes, just internally, we're in so many different places. Sometimes internally I'm in galus. Sometimes internally I'm exiled. Sometimes internally I'm such a mess. And I say to myself, there is no way I could have a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. There is no way I could be holy in my present state of affairs. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He says the Torah is translated into 70 languages because wherever you are externally, wherever you are internally, you have the ability to be a holy being. You have the ability to be someone who is Ruchni, someone who has a beautiful and passionate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yegar Sadusa. Even Yaakov Avinu was sitting there with the guy, Yegar Sadusa. Wherever you are, Abosai, even if you have to live with loved ones, even if you have Yegar Sadusa, if a person chooses to be holy, they can be. What does this have to be with Lag Ba'omer? You know, Abosai, what's that do Lag Ba'omer? So you know that there are two central figures upon whom Lag BaOmer revolves, and they're very much interconnected. The two figures are Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Those are the two figures. I'm going to say, you know, they're very connected. Why are they connected? Because Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was Rabbi Akiva's Talmud Mufak. He was his primary disciple. You know, Rabbi Akiva was killed by the Romans right before he was executed. Remember, he's incarcerated because he taught Torah in public. So the Romans said, even while he was jailed, that he was prohibited from having any kind of visitation from his Talmidim because they didn't want him to start teaching Torah again. He was permitted to have one Talmud with him at the time of his death. Who was with him at the time of his death? Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Rashbi, the Talmud Mufak, was there. We quoted last night from the Sefer Nachal Shimon that Rabbi Akiva was Yochai's Rebbe. Right, Rabbi Akiva wasn't just Rashbi's Rebbe. He was Rashi's Rabbi Shimon's father's Rebbe. He was Yochai's Rebbe as well. So I'll say, what's the common denominator between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva? That they're both people that teach us that no matter what your circumstances are, if a person desires to be a Ruchni individual, you have the ability to do so. That there's a kiyum in Torah. If a person desires HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person desires something bigger in life, to Rabbi said, no matter who you are, where you are, if you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's available to you. Rabbi Akiva decides at the ripe old age of 40, an ignorant shepherd, to become something, and he makes himself into something. Rashbi lives in total isolation for 13 years. You know, the Gemara says, so everybody stops reading that Gemara Masechet Shabbos after Rashbi comes out of the cave. After we speak about the Maisa, that we go ahead and we learned about yesterday with the two bundles of bread. But you know, the Gemara goes on. You know what the Gemara goes on? The Gemara says that when Rashbi came out of the cave, he was met by his son-in-law. His son-in-law was Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer. Amazing. Can you imagine that mishpacha? His son-in-law was Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer. Pinchas ben Yoyer goes with his father-in-law to the bathhouse. And Rashbi's skin is so cracked from all of those years. And Pinchas ben Yoyer begins to cry, because he sees the incredible suffering that his father-in-law had to undergo all of those years. And the Gemara says that his tears fell into the cracks of Rashbi's skin. And Rashbi is wincing in pain, not because of the cracks, but because of the tears that are coming in. I will say, all of us are cracked, and all of us have difficulties, and all of us have challenges. But what Rashbi teaches us, what Rabbi Akiva teaches us, is that we need not be broken by our circumstances. All of us face challenges. And you know what we'll say? Just because someone else has bigger challenges than you do doesn't mean that your challenges are not challenges. You know, it's like the famous, as they say, you know, I know that there are children starving in Africa. I got it. I understand that. But just because there are children starving in Africa, Rahman al-Islam, doesn't mean that my problems aren't problems. All of us have our challenges. All of us have the cracks. Some of us have the cracks on the outside. Some of us have the cracks on the inside. So many of us feel like Rabbi Akiva. How am I ever going to amount to anything? Rabbi Akiva lost 40 years and he did anything and everything to try to recapture. But you know, you can never recapture lost time. But the beautiful part is that Lag BaOmer teaches Rabosai that no matter who you are, where you are, no matter what your circumstances in life, if you want something great for yourself, it's yours for the taking. Because Torah, because the Ribono Shel Olam, because spiritual accomplishment in life is not reserved for Talmidei Chachamim, is not reserved for Tzadikim, but it's there for all of us. That's the Remes. Lag BaOmer is Gal Eid. Lag BaOmer is Yigar Sahadusa. Lag BaOmer is Ba'er Hitev. Lag BaOmer is Totafos. Lag BaOmer is the day that tells us that no matter where you are, and even if you've lived the life that is a lot of darkness, much more darkness than light, light your bonfire, light your medura, ignite yourself and accomplish something great. So I say, we should be Zohan. I know today is a Sunday, and often again, for many of us, Sundays are anything but relaxing, right? Going to work is often easier than Sundays, right? Because, I'm sorry, it's Mother's Day, which is a beautiful schos, but may bring other responsibilities as well. So I say, I would just tell you, just on this day, between Mother's Day, Yiddle League, Little League, Schmidt League, whatever everybody's doing, and the million other things, the Simchas, Baruch Hashem, that we all throw around to, take a few minutes today, sit by yourself, close your eyes, and imagine the person you want to be. Just paint that image for yourself of, you know what, I want more. I want something bigger for myself, because it will say, today is the day where if you dream it, you can make it happen. Today is the day where if you light the bonfire, you light the medulla inside, there is no telling how that flame will take. Today is the day where you could call upon the zechuyos of Rashbi. You could call upon the zechuyos of Rabbi Akiva. You could call upon the zechuyos of Galeid of Yaakov Avinu. You could dream something magnificent for yourself. And you could begin to find the koach to make that dream a reality. Rabbi said, we should be zochem Yeretz Hashem to light the meduros, not the external ones. We should be zochem Yeretz Hashem to light the meduros hapnimi. We should be zochem Yeretz Hashem to light the fire within. We should be zochem Yeretz Hashem to see it take hold. We should be zochem Yeretz Hashem to illuminate ourselves and to illuminate our world. Amen. Thank you.